Välkomna till Italienpodden. I det här avsnittet så träffar jag Åsa Francesco Ricasoli från Castello del Broglio i Chianti Classico. Det är en dramatisk historia som det här vinslottet har bakom sig, för man gör vin sedan 1141. Och på 90-talet när Chianti och Chianti Classico inte var poppis, så sålde man faktiskt vingården till ett australiensiskt företag. Men Francesco, han gav inte upp. Han lyckades till slut köpa tillbaka Castello di Broglio, och idag så gör han nyanserade viner på Sangiovese-druvan i Gaiole in Chianti. Hör hans historia, och jag hoppas att ni tycker om det. Ciao, ciao!
Welcome to Italian Podman. Today I'm with Francesco Ricasoli from Barone Ricasoli in Chianti Classico. Welcome to Italian Podman.
Hello. Ciao.
So we're here for a press lunch and a presentation of the new vintages. But first, I would like to ask a little bit about your personal history. How was it to grow up in such a historical family? Because the winery, 1141, it started, right? And so a long, long history. So how was it to be like a child and growing up in this historical family?
Well, I was born actually inside the castle. So in a very cold and icy February. And so for me, it's not very normal. I mean, I've been also living my first years of my life in the castle, and then we moved to Florence. But it was always considered a very normal situation to be there and to be part of this family. And so absolutely an everyday life.
Did you know from the beginning that you wanted to take over the winery, or what did you dream of as a child to become as an adult?
You know, I was never considered, because I was the kid of the entire family, so I was the last one to be consulted. And so therefore I actually had my own profession, because I was a professional photographer for roughly 12 years.
Oh, I didn't know. What kind of photography?
At the beginning, I learned from a very well-known architectural photographer here in Florence. But I was not making so much money, because I did art and architecture for a while. And then I moved to advertising. And I was specialized mostly in still life.
Hmm. I didn't know that.
Yeah. You see?
You never tell that, right?
Well, you never ask me, actually.
No, that's true. So how come you took over the winery in the end?
That's a long story, but I try to make it very short. So there was a certain moment that I felt that my family was not in very easy waters. And you have to know, by the way, that the brand, the company, was not of my family anymore at that time. My father still owned the vineyards, the land, but not the business. So, to make a long story short, beginning of the 90s, I felt that I had to give a try to save what was left of the family. So in 1990, I started to manage the vineyard, knowing practically nothing, but I had good people around me. In a short time, I understood that there was no future without having the brands and being a 360 degrees business. So I started to look at the other side of the wall, so at the Ricasoli brands, that at that time was owned by Australians. And 1993, it happened that we bought back the business. So that's how it happened. And little by little, again, started to change everything to make a revolution, to get back to the roots, we say like that. You know?
What was the first thing that you did?
Firing a lot of people, managers that were that brought in such a bad situation. Hiring good people such as Massimiliano Biagi that is here with us, and focusing on you know, the core business that is our vineyard, and so the long history, as you said, the great potential that was lost and that we had to take it back. So replanting all the vineyards, focusing on our most important grape variety, Sangiovese. So I think that now we are really the expert of Sangiovese.
You have your own clones also, right?
Yeah, we have two clones that are registered at the in the catalog of grape variety for wines in Rome, the Minister of Agriculture. But we did a lot. We did the zoning of the entire estate. We have been developing maybe as among the very first in Chianti Classico to make single vineyards and Sangiovese. So was the when we are not talking about Gran Selezione, we are already thinking with a Gran Selezione mind. And so this was, it looks like a long, long time ago, because really Broglio was a forgotten place for many. Today is back to be a great destination, not only for the history, but mostly because of the quality of the wine. And so we are proud.
Yeah, you should be. The we're going to talk about the wines later, but what since so the 31 years since you took over, how would you explain the evolution of Chianti Classico in these years?
There has been a complete change, especially in the last 15 years, even 10 years. As you know, Oza, I'm also maybe since 25 years in the board of the consortium, so I'm very much into these kind of subjects. And Chianti Classico today has been really changing everything. And the average quality of Chianti Classico is not even comparable to 10 years ago. And in fact, the eyes of the wine world, the eyes of the wine writers, and mostly from the consumer as well, are really looking to Chianti Classico as the, you know, the hot thing of the moment. And I hope that it's not just going to be for the moment, but for a long term. Still, we have to work hard to release even a better image of what we are. I think the trade and knows very well what Chianti Classico has been reaching in terms of quality in these last years. At consumer level, we have to communicate it more.
Do you think it has to do with the old reputation of Chianti and Chianti Classico?
Absolutely. For two reasons. One is that there is a huge confusion between Chianti and Chianti Classico.
Yes, a marketing manager's nightmare, right, to explain.
Please, next question. Yeah. and also, yes, because of the history of, you know, the straw bottle, the fiasco and so on, the easy wine and so on. We never give it up.
The historical decision to divide Chianti Classico in 11 subzones, the Ugas in Italian, 11 villages, in 2021, it really made a huge difference. And now when you taste, just a couple of weeks ago, we had the previews of the new vintages, and the quality is just mind-blowing. It's beautiful, the quality of Chianti Classico. And what do you think are the future challenges for the region? Are the prices, is it the quality, or which are the challenges for Chianti Classico?
The challenges are, we don't have to forget what we have been doing in these years. We have to promote and communicate much more what we are, what we are doing, because the quality is high, no doubt. At the same time, I think that we have to reposition price-wise a little bit better, because all the majority of the producer in this appellation has been making great investment, both in the vineyard and the cellar, and I mean, that has to come back, all this. So the adjustment of the price is required, but there is something positive that already happened, that since few years there is a stability of prices, and this is good. For especially the small producers that are just selling the grapes. So this is very important. But I think from a quality standpoint of view, there is no need, because everybody is trying to do their maximum. And even us, we are never ending researches, experimentation, and partnership with different kind of specialists in order to really go and do fine-tuning in smallest detail in order to be more consistent, reliable, and especially with these climate changes, to be able to face the difficulties that we have in the vineyards.
And you're in Gaiole, that is one of the 11 villages in Chianti Classico. How would you describe Gaiole to someone that doesn't know a lot about Chianti Classico?
Well, as you said, we have 11 UGA. That is a first step, in my view, of a long process that maybe my nephew will take another step forward. But it's 11 are just a first classification, I would say, that in the future for sure will change. There will be even more subzones,
like in Barolo and Barbaresco, with like smaller pieces of land that you can write on the label.
Yeah, I think so. But we don't have to rush. So the next changes has to be really made with the conscious of doing the right things. Getting back to the UGA Gaiole, for example, this is a perfect example of how such a large UGA give at this moment only a geographical origin, but not a stylistic standard for example, the vineyards that are 600 meters or the one that are 220 meters. From many aspects, there are cooler places, warmer area in Gaiole, different soils, very different. But it's the beginning. So it's not, doesn't mean it's bad. It's already the consumer knows that Gaiole is the UGA that is southern, on the southern eastern part, and is one of the largest, and that's it. So it's a beginning.
It's a beginning. It's really interesting. And the wines that you're going to present today, last question, the wines that you're going to present today, what are they?
Well, as you well know, we are celebrating the 100th anniversary of Chianti Classico as a consortio, and the 10th anniversary of Gran Selezione. And so the focus is Chianti Classico. And by the way, we have been among the first 33 producers that in 2014 has been betting on this new category, Gran Selezione. Today there are, I think, more than 200. And we are probably also the one that has more Gran Selezione than anybody else, because we have four wonderful children that are labeled UGA Gaiole Gran Selezione. And we are very proud. So we have 2021 vintage of Castello di Broglio, Colle di La, Roncicone, Ceni Primo. And then we have the newborn white wine that is San Barnaba, Trebbiano. And what else? I think that's it. I know, Broglio, of course. Broglio 2022, so the Annata. Great, beautiful. That's it.
Yeah, that's interesting. But you have been focusing on single vineyards, Gran Selezione, correct? And do you use, because in the Gran Selezione you can use 90% of Sangiovese and then 10% of red or black autochthonous grape varieties, so no international varieties. Which blend do you use?
All our Gran Selezione are 100% Sangiovese. And Castello di Broglio is produced with vineyards that are at higher altitude and on three different soils: sandstone, schistus, galestro, and limestone alberese. And then we have Roncicone on marine deposit, Colle di La on limestone, and Ceni Primo on fluvial terraces. But they are all 100% pure Sangiovese.
So there you can really feel the terroir. Last question. Is it some food in Sweden that you like to combine with your wines? Because I know you're going to Sweden in a couple of weeks to present them. So is it something that you really like to combine them with in Sweden?
Well, I'm in love with the Swedish sea dishes. Yeah, I mean, you have such fantastic, I don't remember how you call them. But anyhow, seafood in Sweden is lovely. And I also am very favorable on pairing red wines with not all seafood, but with some. Then, of course, there are the Schottbulla that can be paired with Broglio 22 fantastically well.
And great pronunciation.
Yeah? Yes. Okay. That's my daughter that teaches me how to pronounce it properly.
That's fantastic. Thank you so much, Francesco, and good luck with your trip to Sweden. I'm sure the Swedes will be happy to have you. Thank you so much.
Grazie. Saluti a tutti.
Grazie mille. Thank you.